following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee, where this happens. Everybody's at their home office. Episode 320 for the this episode from Radioland. Thank you for streaming and downloading and tuning us in. And well, I know you're bored. There's a lot of folks that are, well, you would think. There's a lot of folks that are sticking around at home. They're not really going out anywhere. They're not doing anything. We're under this thing called a quarantine. It's there's a pandemic, as the name would imply. It travels the globe, and it's causing some concern for a lot of folk, and then for others down here in Memphis, not so much. To the point where the mayor, Jim Strickland, got kind of pissed off with the people in Memphis and said, "Well, you know, I went for a drive and." Drove through the city and drove by one of the parks. And there are all these people just out there having fun and hanging out and holding hands and swapping spit and just doing all that other fun stuff. And not paying attention to the fact that there's a safer at home order that is happening. you know, what are you going to do? Lock it all down, I suppose, maybe. We took advantage of it ourselves, to be quite frank with you. I live in a different type of environment than a lot of folks. Being a broadcaster, I'm still doing some daily work at Radio Memphis. LJ and I doing the morning show weekdays, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Time. We're doing that in the interest of giving out information as it happens and being somewhat entertaining as much as we possibly can in these matters. And we're going to do it in as long as we can. We live ourselves fairly isolated anyway. You know, it's we're underground. It's we're down in a bunker. We're hidden away from a lot of folks. We're not allowing too many people to pop in or say anything much of anybody, quite frankly. And it's put a damper on the fun, really. The blues show on Sunday nights, which, by the way, this is the date of production. It is the 29th of March. It's a Sunday, and I'm running a wee bit behind. It's not like I'm going anywhere. Because under normal circumstances, I'd be like busting my buns trying to get this show together so I could get out the door and head down to the radio station and do the blues show. But that's not going to happen. We can't have folks down there. And when we looked at it initially, we thought, well, let's give it a couple of weeks and see where we're at. And here we are. And we're going to continue on with what we've been doing and just keeping ourselves somewhat socially distant, if you will, in a physical sense, of course. We're all over social media. We're all over the web. We're still happening. We're still broadcasting. We're still doing our thing. And we're going to continue to do so, as I said, until further notice. So, you know, be that as it may. So the wife and I decided, screw this. And we left the city last night or yesterday. And I don't know. I'm sure I'll probably get some lip about it. But it was understood, too, that we were going to the great state of Mississippi, which the governor there, Tate Reeves, changed the ruling down there and just reopened everything. But nobody's paying attention to that. We went down to Clarksdale yesterday. We went down to Greenwood, Mississippi, hung out at Robert Johnson's grave. I'd never been there. We went and just had a big old time. I did a Facebook Live from that spot. You can find it on my Facebook page, my personal Facebook page. You can find it there, and you can see what all went down when we went over there. And it was, you know, it was in fun. Had a cocktail and, you know, such as it were. But we stayed away from people the entire time, as much as feasible. We wound up getting gas, but thankfully for the automated pump, that made things a lot easier. And we just kind of, you know, did our thing, went down and came back and spent some time together and did our thing. But it does bring to mind about some of the things that are happening in this world right now. And it's a little alarming to a certain extent. Some people are looking at this like, oh, it's no big deal. There's a lot of infections, but hardly that much death. I don't know. Tell that to the Italians. Tell that to the Spaniards. Tell that to the people in New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles. Tell that to the people in China. There's, you know, I don't want to sit here and put too bad of a spin on it, but I want to make sure that we all understand ourselves fairly clearly here that this is a deadly deal. We don't need this. We don't need this at all. you know, you go back 102 years and you can find the last pandemic, and it was pretty devastating. It was the Spanish flu, also a coronavirus. And it was bad, man. It was bad, bad, bad. Globally, there were more people that perished under the pandemic of the Spanish flu than all who had perished during the First World War. Isn't that something? Something to consider. But not to be morose, but we'll have a little bit more on that as we move along here on this episode from Radioland. So don't go away.
Wizards is corona-free and is your headquarters for your essential quarantine supplies. Their viral sale is happening right now with deals throughout the store. Get some sage to chase away the bad stuff. Incense, woodwick candles, decorative fans, and things to keep you busy while you're stuck at home. T-shirts, bandanas, hats, and more on sale right now. CBD, Kratom products, and personal cleansers for that job interview. Open 10 to 10 every day at 1999 Madison Avenue in Midtown, or get it all delivered when you order online at wizardsmemphis.com. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older to buy smoking-related products.
During the morning show, LJ and I had been kind of batting around the idea of what do you suppose the world's going to be like when this goes away? What's it going to be like? What's the world going to, how are we going to change? Because something like this, when it happens, it does. It changes things. It changes things all over the world. We look at things differently. We do things differently. We have a completely different outlook on certain things in this world. Perhaps the fragility of life, as we've perhaps taken it for granted, the fragility of the environment, which we're seeing, which is odd under areas that are under heavy quarantine and lockdown. CO2 levels are dropping out of the atmosphere. How about that for proof of climate change being man-made? There's, you know, the waters in Venice are running clear again. Still wouldn't want to drink them, but still, there's that. We've talked about that last time. It's changing the way things happen, and the world is looking a little bit different. And one such thing that I think is going to be an interesting take on all this whole deal is what's going to happen with those that live in the world of the anti-vaxxer. I just have this feeling that if it'll happen, there'll be some bit of news that'll pop out and it'll say, hey, a vaccine that has been tested and tried and it works is of now available. And every one of us that have been standing around here with a blindfold and a cigarette waiting for our time at the poll realize finally that we can get ourselves a vaccine. We can get ourselves a shot. This is what'll happen. This will be the end of that. And the first one standing in line will be the anti-vaxxers. Oh, yeah. Well, they'll be standing right behind the preppers. That was just something else. That was another slice of society that I thought was kind of amusing about the preppers, because you haven't heard a whole heck of a lot about them. They've been prepping for this shit for a long time. Of course, it has to be said that they're probably sitting around in their quote-unquote bunker going, well, this is not quite how I expected this to turn out, but we're prepared for it. Preppers tend to fall under the categories of the apocalyptic. They're looking for those that are trying to save their own skin and their family from perhaps nuclear holocaust, chemical warfare, which is kind of what a pandemic sort of is. It's an illness, perhaps a breakdown of society, that kind of thing. That's what they're prepping for. They're saving up ammunition and guns and food and MREs and tubs of macaroni that'll last allegedly forever. And all of the stuff that goes with that kind of thing. And a lot of these guys had really kind of gotten into it thanks to the world of science fiction, because they were all preparing for a zombie apocalypse. Oh, man, they were ready to just go after it. Turns out that's not the case. All of these images that we've had, thanks to Hollywood and our version of fiction, when you hear of these quote-unquote horror stories of pandemics, and what it's going to be like. And it's just this really kind of this grayscale world that all of a sudden we're living in. And there's a draconian set of laws that have been put into play by a dictator like leader. Not so much. It's not grayscale, that's for sure. No, everybody went after the toilet paper. That was the first thing everybody, toilet paper and bottled water, as if your tap is suddenly going to get cut off. And as far as the dictatorial president, he's just kind of an idiot. And he's standing there not really knowing what to do and not taking responsibility or not really assisting in any way, shape, or form. for him to be, you know, he was, what did he say earlier today? Something effective, you know, my ratings are the highest. I'm this, I'm me. And somebody else had responded to him on Twitter. It's like, you know, the whole point of being a decent president is to do something presidential, perhaps. It's a bit of a stretch, I know, but there we are. And here we are in this pandemic, panic stations. We see the news. We're all glued to it. We can't really escape it, per se. And I'm not getting into the heavy numbers with this. A, it's dated. B, it's kind of pointless. Because that's not what this show is about. It's to be a bit of an escape from that for just a little while. And maybe some food for thought. Because the idea here, too, is when we do watch the news and we do go through the web and we read these stories and we hear these fantastical things that are going on in places like New York and in Italy and in Spain. And we just see these images of, you know, people wrapped in hazmat suits and covered in plastic and wearing masks and gloves and covered in duct tape and spraying each other down with solutions of bleach or whatever the hell that is that they're trying to keep their shit together with. And it does sort of seem surreal. And of course, not to take anything away from those that are experiencing this directly or where in your community it has become such a big deal, like New York. I know we have several listeners up there in New York, and I know every one of y'all down there, up there, are looking at this whole thing with that jaundiced eye. Oh my God, what's going to happen? And I bet you, and I know this to be somewhat true, I bet you there's a good number of New Yorkers that are up there that are seeing these other idiots going, oh, this is no big deal, we're going out in the streets, can't stop us, we're New Yorkers. Look, there's something to be said about the endurance and the strength of your everyday, average, off-the-shelf New Yorker. These people don't play around. They've dealt with enough. Well, hell, specifically, 9/11. Look, remember that. Look how that city got together and stood up and survived and kept going. And, you know, they licked their wounds and embraced the rest of the world. As you do in those situations. And here we are in a similar situation. But see, this is it. New York is not the only one that's in this. They're not alone. California is all locked down too. Saw pictures of the 405 in Los Angeles from an inbound flight into LAX. Somebody had taken a picture. He was presumably the only guy on the plane. Took a picture from his seat window there. And what he saw was a beautiful day in Los Angeles, California. And, well, what did he see? Nothing on the 405. Nothing in the streets of LA. The levels of smog down to practically zero because nobody's driving around. You could see across the city on a clear day. But all that prettiness and all of that, you know, look how wonderful things are, is tainted by the fact that it's only because we're hiding. We're all hiding and we're trying to escape from this microbial thing. This invisible enemy that's doing us in, at least a fair number of us. And look, I'm not taking anything away either from those that have taken it, gotten it, and fought it off and survived it. Those numbers are substantial. That's great. That's fantastic news. I love hearing about these matters. But we don't focus on that because that's all rosy and cheeks and wonderful and sweet and blah, blah. We're still ducking the bullets that are being fired from this thing, from people that are being irresponsible. They're going out, they're spreading this thing around, and people are getting sick, and they are dying. That is a thing, too. As I mentioned last week, everything that happens around this is tainted now, and it shouldn't be, but it's tainted by the stench of politics. It's like, first of all, you see in the headline, coronavirus, COVID-19, here's the latest breaking, blah, 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 and there's all this other stuff. And then immediately after that, it's political. Something is said about Donald Trump. And then, you know, what he said, and everybody's just like, well, why is this guy even being given airtime? Pretty much everybody, at least all the people that I've seen and heard from, have all agreed that this guy's kind of a moron. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. But show me where he's done anything. It's not his job, bro. It's a statewide thing, bro. You gotta let the governors do their own thing. Yeah, about that. What's the point of being in the union if that's the way that's going to be? Don't you require help from a federal level? It's working in other places. It worked in China. Not saying that China's like the last bastion of democracy, because Lord knows it isn't. they have their issues as well. But Japan, South Korea, Australia has gotten a good grip on this thing because they did the prudent thing. They shut down domestic travel. They told people to stay home. And guess what? The Australians stayed the fucking home. They did. They've had their issues and they fought it off and they kept on going. Europe? Why do you think it was so deadly in Italy? Because the Italians didn't want to be told what to do. They didn't believe the government. The government was already several weeks behind the eight ball as it was, and it just went rampant, and it just took off and caused all sorts of problems. I have friends there. I haven't heard from them. I'm hoping they're fine. Spain, same thing. You weren't going to tell the Spaniards to not party because that's what the hell they did. They were having pandemic parties. Dude, here in Memphis, there was a pandemic party last weekend. In my neighborhood, of all places. It's no big deal. Hey, it's nice. Let's have a cookout at my place. That's the problem. It's springtime in Memphis, and you can't keep a Memphian inside. They still want to go out. They still want to party. They still want to have some fun. They're going to still swap their spit, and guess what happens? Everybody's starting to get sick again. Again, hell, for the first time. Is Memphis going to be a hotspot? God, I hope not. In New Orleans, I don't know how they're going to handle it. It's another group of resourceful people that know how to put up with a lot of shit. Ask them about what happened around Katrina and what happened around that. And that was a big mess. So when the authorities tell you that you need to, you know, limit your contact with other people outside of your home, it's probably a pretty good idea to listen to that. All you have to do, because if like, well, I don't trust you, take a look around. Read the stories, read the news. What was it? Something else that Trump had said too that was just mind-boggling. He said, well, some people are calling it a virus, some people an illness. You know, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. Maybe it's not real, maybe it'll go away. I mean, really? He said that today. Why is this happening? Why is this a thing? Why is it that there's these camps on, well, we don't really know if it's real or not, to, you know, hell yeah, it's real. And yeah, you plan for the worst and you hope for the best. And that's, I guess, kind of what the preppers' idea were. Now, sorry for the preppers, that it wasn't an alien invasion or a zombie apocalypse. And I know this is kind of anticlimactic from your point of view. But nevertheless, it's the people who had panic bought all the toilet paper and bottled water. Those are the first ones that'll be looted. That's when the looters will show up in the middle of the night. We've come for your toilet paper. We've come for your bottled water. Yeah, and there's those people too. It's like, yeah, and I've been stocking up on ammunition too, and I've got guns, and we're going to kill everybody that comes anywhere near me. It's a bit much, a bit heavy-handed, but I get the sentiment. Is it correct? Probably not. Where do you find your sense of reason in that kind of thing? Because if it's one thing that we've done here from Radioland is try and talk about reason and trying to be reasonable. And what's a good way to look at this? Well, there's one way. There's one really decent way to look at this. And it's a simple fact that we're kind of all in this at the same time. There's not one that's going to benefit the other in this whole deal, because this is an illness that has nothing to do with the color of your skin. It has nothing to do with how much money you make or how much money you have. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what your religious beliefs are. It doesn't matter if you're relatively healthy or already kind of sick. It doesn't care. That's how these things operate. And there's no hemming and hawing from this whole sort of thing. The stimulus package is a pretty interesting indication of what things are going on, because all of a sudden, $2.2 trillion just came up out of where? Where did we have this money? Well, we didn't. We still don't. But the Mint's just printing it up. They're gonna crank out some more cash. My fear is that once all this is said and done with, hopefully by the middle to late summer, that it's not going to cost me $40 for a loaf of bread, because the value of the dollar will be so low because there's so much of it out there. That's how that works, you see. One upshot, the price of gasoline is down. I think while we were out on our little excursion down into Mississippi, we filled up the tank, and I think we put in, I don't know, was it $15? I guess it was. Filled the tank on this little Nissan that the wife is driving right now. All of this is, you know, part of the side effect of it, amongst many other things. But it's the absence of reason that we still keep looking forward to. And that's what I said. You know, we had a lot of absence of reason just before all this went down. You know, for example, the anti-vaxxers, I'll go back to them, because they were, by God, they were not going to let their kid get vaccinated. That would just be horrible. We can't do that. They'll get autism. Not going to have my kid be stupid in the protection of other people because we don't need the measles around. That's just another thing. But boy, howdy, did they get fucking quiet during the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, huh? No one's talking about that. And this whole thing about herd immunity, where they just get ahead and affect air. It was the chicken pox thing back in the 70s. It was a big deal. They put all the kids together and they'd make them all have the chicken pox. So that way, once they go through it, they'll be all right. Because you have the antibodies. They weren't thinking about the fact that once you've already had chicken pox, there's another little problem that happens to you in your adulthood. Thank you very much. Shingles. Our actions have consequences, no matter what they are, whether they're good actions or bad actions, they always have their consequences. And right now we're standing here looking over the precipice of something absolutely horrific. And the problem is that there's been no clear plan aside from just stay in. And frankly, that's really all you need, right? What else could you possibly have to worry about if all you have to do is stay in? Because what stops this virus is something quite simple: avoiding it. Staying away from other people. Hide. Sit on your couch. Sit on your fat ass and do nothing. Eat some potato chips. Eat all your quarantine food. Have a time. Watch some TV. Play some video games. Do whatever it is you got to do. Just don't get out there and mingle with the people and start rubbing this and that and the other and touching people and high-fiving and all that other crap, because that's how this shit keeps getting spread. And stay inside. As it turns out, good number of y'all are pretty lucky, because you're going to be getting some checks from the federal government to do just that, just to stay inside and be that guy. That's a pretty slick deal right there. Now, granted, having said all of that, and I'm here, you know, telling you about, you know, going out and doing things and going to the radio station and doing a show, the point of that being is that I'm doing that in the interest of contributing to the information that's available, the correct information that's available, the stuff that's been vetted, something that has been understood as to what is going on in this world and how one needs to deal with this and how one needs to cope with it. And at the same time, we give ourselves a little bit of an escape from the reality that is, you know, the mainstream media, if you want to call it that, that's beating you over the head with numbers and hot takes and all this other kind of stuff. Yeah, we do our own little hot takes and stuff like that as well, but, you know, we're not out to just be completely horrified either, or horrifying. We know how it is. Everybody's panicky. Everybody's a little nervous. Everybody's a little uptight right now, and for good reason. But it's okay, too, to get into your safe spot at home, breathe a bit, make yourself something to eat, perhaps a cup of tea, maybe a cup of coffee, maybe a shot of whiskey. Who cares? You're staying away from everybody else, and that's the key, you know? We light a candle for our friends in hotspot areas. We hope the best. Hope for the best for our friends in New York. This is some scary stuff up there. I hope you all are able to weather this storm well. You're New Yorkers. I know how you people are. You'll be fine. You'll probably lose some along the way. Hell, you already have. New Orleans, the same way. They're trying to get a grip on it. They're trying to understand what's going on. You want to talk about fear? That's what's going on right now down there. There's fear in the streets, running rampant. Everybody's scared. Everybody's nuts. That'd be too. If it was in my town, it's here in Memphis. What am I talking about? You know what? Some 400 some odd cases. We've already had a fatality of it here in Memphis, of all places, where God tells last. I'm not too terribly panicky about it. I'm a little worried like anybody else is. I'm a little concerned if I'm going to go out. I tell you, I look at things a little bit differently. I just went to a grocery store to pick up a few little items, as we do. I bought a couple of extra of said items to keep me from having to go back. But at the same time, you're casting aspersion on your fellow man around you. Standing in line, and somebody's behind me wearing a mask and rubber gloves and a bandana over their head, trying to hide, and then I hear the cough. I hear the cough. And I think in my head about the idea that, oh my God, this is how it ends. Here we go. That's what happened. And I go and I pass away and I meet my maker at the other end of the deal here. And they're going to go, how did it all happen? Well, I don't know. I was standing in line at a grocery store and some stranger coughed on me from behind while wearing a mask and rubber gloves. And I got a little nervous. And Lord knows I had every right to be nervous because that person was infected with a disease that there's no test for, apparently. Yeah, and you let the monkey out of the cage and that kind of stuff. Oh, your brain will do all sorts of crazy shit. So, yeah, try not and let it get the best of you, right? Douglas Adams did say it best. Don't panic. Stay home. He didn't say that, but I'm telling you that. Wash your goddamn hands. Stay the fuck at home. Watch some TV. Look, it's an excuse to not have to wear pants for a while. I mean, what could possibly be wrong with that? You know, hey, the weather's nice. I want to get out. Go out and sit on your porch. Sit on your patio. Sit in your driveway. Open a window. Just don't be out there hobnobbing with people. You know, light a candle, burn some incense, say a prayer, whatever it is that you got to do. And hang tight. It'll all be okay. And you anti-vaxxers, I'll let it slide this time.
The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical supplies and gifts. We stock candles, herbs, gemstones, incense, salt lamps, and more. We also host monthly rituals and events for those looking to get together with like-minded people. And the Broom Closet is the only place you can get your cards read by me, Reverend Emily. I'm an ordained Wiccan minister and Reiki master. Book your next tarot reading and see what's in the cards for you. Discover conscious living and being connected to an awesome community. The Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop is located in downtown Memphis, or visit our online store at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, where magic begins.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
You know, in the ongoing continuing discussion of what life would be like after all of this, you know, once it does, and it will pass. I mean, it's going to pass sooner than you think. I know there's some people that are like looking at the sky as the sky is coming down, and that's not necessarily the case. It's not going to be that bad. For some, yeah, it'll be pretty devastating. But for others that come out through all of this, which will be most of us, and we're trying to sort this out, what is it going to be like? I'll tell you, and I can wrap it up quite simply in one simple little sentence. Facebook is still going to be just as toxic as ever before. In fact, probably more so, because that whole idea of what was going on, instead of looking after each other during the time of a massive pandemic, what were we doing? Sharing stupid memes and jokes of idiots that are doing things that in the middle of a pandemic that you shouldn't have been doing in the first place.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right, you heard what's coming up next time on the program. As I mentioned yesterday, the wife and I went down to Greenwood, Mississippi, amongst other places, and we stopped off at the Little Zion Missionary Baptist Church and paid our respects to the one Mr. Robert Johnson, a great bluesman. Whole great story about him. I've got a video that's coming up soon to YouTube that we'll get out. You'll find it just be following me on my regular Facebook page, and then, of course, through Radio Memphis as well. Look for Radio Memphis on Facebook, and you'll find our Facebook page, of course. Give it a like, and then, you know, we'll hip you to stuff that's going on, and we'll have some stuff, too. So it was one of those things we decided, like, you know, let's just get out, and you limit your – you have to go out, but you limit your exposure, too. We were fortunate in that aspect. We didn't see hardly anybody because, you know, everybody had rolled their sidewalks up because it's, you know, it's a pandemic, and it's, you know, it's still a thing. A lot of businesses that normally would have been open on a beautiful spring day as it was yesterday were closed for obvious reasons. Even though the governor, Tate Reeves, decided that it'd be okay just to, let's just do what the president said to do. We'll just reopen everything so we can all get back to work. Guess what? Everybody else said, nah, I'm good. I'm just going to hang here. Going to do my thing. Maybe go fishing later. That's what it was like. It really was. It was just kind of bizarre and surreal. And of course, when we went over to the Johnson grave, the little cemetery next to the church, well, it was dead quiet there. Pardon the pun. It was dead quiet. There was nobody around. There weren't even tourists anywhere around there. Well, it's kind of, to be fair, it's kind of tricky to get to. But, and I'm sure just about everybody in Greenwood's been there or that really cared about what I would think there's probably some people in Greenwood go, Robert who? I know how the world is. You don't have to pull the wool over my eyes, because there's people out there that still don't know what anything is going on. You know that. You know as well as I do. And by the way, and I want to make a point of mentioning this before we wrap it up this time out, that those of you that are sharing cutesy little memes involving the pandemic, it's all well and good. I'm not telling you not to do it. It's not my job. But if you're going to use the word quarantine, it would be really cool if you learned how to spell it. It's not quarantine. C-O-R-N-T-E-E-N. That's a thing. Search for the hashtag quarantine. C-O-R-N-T-E-E-N. You'll see what I mean. And it's remarkable. Here we are. We've got a lot of time on our hands, and perhaps we're not doing anything productive with that time, you know, like learning how to spell. That would be kind of cool. Because, you know, you do want to come out of this, hopefully, as a smarter society, slightly a little bit more intelligent about certain matters, you know, like about viral infections and whatnot, and perhaps being able to spell the word quarantine, which I'll have you know is a derivative of the Latin word quora, which is the number 40. It was deemed early on that a proper quarantine was to stay away from society for 40 days. How about that? Didn't think you'd learn something like that now, would you? Because everybody that listens to this show goes, I already knew that. And you misused the word quora, probably. But nevertheless, the spirit of the education is there, isn't it? But see, all the people listening to this show, they're smart. Y'all are all smart. Y'all are smarter than me. Which baffles me when I see how many people listen to this show. I appreciate it, though, every last bit of it. Thank you so very much. Until next time, please take it to heart. Look after yourselves. Look after one another. And for God's sake, stop shooting each other. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.